We're learning Yeshaya, Perek Mem, and we're up to Pasuk Yud Beis. This is a continuation of the Haftorah of Shabbos Nachamu, where after the destruction, after the Churban, we lay in this Haftorah, where Hashem says, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Klal Yisrael should be comforted. And the Haftorah mentioned that the Navi was told to proclaim there'll be a Geula. In Pasuk Gimel, Kol Korei, the voice is calling out in the desert to clear the path for everyone to return to Eretz Yisrael, to come back to Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. And then in Pasuk Vav, Kol Omer Kra, again the voice says, call out the Nevuah. And the Navi is hesitant. He's announced there'll be a Geula, and it hasn't happened yet. So he's told, continue to call out about the Geula, because when people make a promise, they can't always carry it through. Kol HaBosar Chotzir, people are like grass that they fade, their time on this earth is limited, and they wither, and they can't back up their word. Their kindness is not lasting. But Devar Elokeinu Yokum La'olam, the word of Hashem will be forever. And if Hashem says there'll be a geula, you can get ahead, you can go out al har gavoa and on the high mountains proclaim the geula, the redemption is coming, because it is coming. And Hashem is forever and His word will be fulfilled. And as a preface to what we will learn today in Pasuk Yud Beis, the Malbim relates, this is connected with Pasuk Yud that we had before, that Hashem has promised there will be the Geula. And in Pasuk Yud, Hashem says, in terms of why the Geula shouldn't happen, when a person makes a promise and he doesn't carry it through, even if it would be eternal, like HaKadosh Baruch who's eternal, why would Hashem not carry out the promise? The only reason to imagine that the Geula shouldn't happen is for a number of possibilities. Sometimes a person does something and hopes of a reward. Imagine a person does something and his dream is if he does whatever action, he'll receive a reward. And then he sees that he doesn't need it anymore. Or that he can do better elsewhere. So I get a reward here, he can get something elsewhere. Or whoever he's doing this favor for just can't pay him back. The reward won't be, he won't get what he wants, and therefore he doesn't carry it through. Or sometimes the person changes his mind because he wanted to do it because he enjoyed a certain activity. And now he doesn't enjoy it anymore. Certain times a person plans on doing an action and he doesn't have the strength of ability to do it, or he needs the help of others, and if the others don't cooperate, he can't carry it through. But the Pasuk said in Pasuk Yud, Hine Hashem Elokim b'chazak yavo. Hashem is coming b'chazak with all of His strength, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu can carry out His promise. Uzeroo Moshlalo, in His own arm, as Kaviyochel, the Hashem's own strength is what gives Him the rulership. Uzeroo Moshlalo, His arm is like brings the rulership for Himself. So He doesn't need a help from anyone else. Hinei Scharo Ito, and you shouldn't think that Hashem is doing it because He needs a reward. And He's doing it because He hopes to receive something in return. And when somebody does something in hopes of reimbursement, if you realize the reimbursement isn't coming, or he doesn't need that item anymore, or he can do better elsewhere, he might change his mind. But b'hinei scharo ito, Hashem's reward is with him. So Hashem is not, He has whatever He wants. Liya kesev, liya zav. Hashem has whatever He wants. So it's not like He has to bring the geula to get something in exchange. And also sometimes a person makes a promise because he enjoys doing something. Take an expert musician and he wants to give a concert. Perhaps it's not even just the money, it's the enjoyment of giving a performance. But Hashem, it's not that Hashem enjoys doing something, in which case he might change his mind. He might decide he'd rather bring some reward to the nations of the world and not Klal Yisrael. But u'pulaso lefanov, Hashem's pu'ul, what he's done is before him. There's no sense of avar, osid, hove, the future, the past. By Hashem, everything is immediate, because Hashem is not limited by time, which is, of course, beyond our comprehension. But u'pulaso lefanov, whatever Hashem will do, it's as if he did it already. It's right in front of him. So therefore, nothing is limiting Hashem. That when He promises there will be a geula, there will be a geula. And now we continue with Pasuk Yud Beis. Mi modad b'sholomayim. The psukim discuss that a person should contemplate to whatever extent the greatness of Hashem, whatever limited amount he can understand. And the truth is, these are the words of Hashem. It's almost as if Hashem has to point out to us His greatness, because we won't even know where to begin and how to focus. So Hashem points out, did you ever contemplate? Mi modad b'sholomayim. Who's the one who measured b'sha'olo? B'sha'olo has different meanings. Some Mefarshim say b'sha'olo means with his footsteps. Like b'mishol hakramim is a path that you walk on that goes in between the vineyards. B'sha'olo is with like a person's footsteps. You walk through a river and a few droplets of water remain on your foot. And if you decide you only need a few droplets, that's a good way of picking up a drop of water is by walking through the stream, and you'll have a few drops. And you look at the ocean, it's as if kaviyochol. Again, this is not to be taken in the, it just enables us to understand. As if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would measure the water for the oceans, like a person needs a few droplets and he walks through the water. Mimodad b'sholomayim. Who's the one who measured the water using his footsteps? Or b'sha'olo could mean with the palm of his hand. He cupped his hand, and within the palm he was able to catch some water. And using that, he decided how much water should be in the ocean. Mimodad b'sha'olo mayim. B'sha'olo may be the name of a vessel. And using that measuring cup, the sha'olo, he was able to measure the water. V'shamayim bazeres tikein. And the Shamayim, the heavens, are gauged with a zeres, a span. The space between, if you stretch out your fingers from the end of the thumb to the end of the pinky, the span of your fingers, the widest area. But using a zeres, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can calculate how long the earth should be, how expansive should be the heavens. V'shamayim bazeres tikein. V'chol ba'shalish afar ha'aretz. And he measured. V'chol means to measure. Ba'shalish. Shalish is the name of a large vessel, a huge vessel. And imagine he fills up this tremendous container. And that's going to be the sandbox of the world. That's going to be the dirt. V'chol ba'shalish afar ha'aretz. He uses the shalish to measure how much dirt there should be in the earth. Rashi brings an explanation. V'chol ba'sholish. He measured ba'sholish in thirds. A third of the earth should be desert. A third of the earth should be settled civilization. And a third of it should be the seas and the oceans. But everything has a proportion, everything has a place, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned out what kind of a world He would like it to be. V'chol ba'sholish afar ha'aretz. The Gemara says in one place that Be'eretz lo avar adam ba, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned out which places would be deserts. And what's interesting to note is the deserts have remained deserts always. In other words, the Sahara Desert, nothing's changed about there. The Arctic, the Antarctic, it just remains a wasteland, and just that's the way it remains. And there are certain places that have been settled from time immemorial. In other words, people have always lived there. There's certain places, you know, you would have imagined at a certain point, you know, Europe would become a no man's land, and all of a sudden would settle some other part of the world that was never settled. But it's not. That's not the way it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has designated which parts of the world are inhabitable to be lived in, and which ones are no man's land. V'chol basholi shafar aretz, the dirt of the earth he measured using this huge container. V'shokal bapeles horim, Hashem weighed the mountains with a scale. U'gavos b'moznoyim, in the hills using a balance. Rashi says, Hakol fi aretz, it depends on the strength of the earth. Har kove toka be'eretz kosha. You have a heavy mountain, and you can place a heavy mountain on a firm piece of soil that can carry it. But if he would stick a heavy mountain on soft soil, the whole thing would collapse. But it's planned out which areas can sustain the mountains. Va'kalim be'eretz raka, the light mountains, the lighter ones, are in a softer area, which kind of terrain can have mountains and which type has to be flat. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned that all out. The Malbim discusses, it seems to discuss almost as an idea of if something is spinning around. Imagine if you had a weight at the end of a string and you spin it and it's going quicker and quicker and quicker. If you let go of the string, it would go flying far away. But since you're holding the string and you're swinging it around, it can't go anywhere because you're holding the string, even though there's a weight at the end. If a person were to know the way the planets are all orbiting, and they're all orbiting at a fantastic speed, and they're swinging around, there's something that's holding all the planets in their orbit. Otherwise, they just go flying off and disappear somewhere in the galaxies where we would never see them again. Our own planet is held within within its orbit. So it's held by the force of gravity. But everything is weighed and measured how strong of a gravitational pull there should be in relation to the speed and the centrifugal forces that are involved in the orbit. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu weighed the mountains and the hills and how much the weight should be and how everything should be able to orbit. As the Malbim says, Bal yismotate min hamerkaz. It shouldn't be removed from its focus on the center. Asher somlo tachas hamon hakhadurim hasovivim oso. There's just such a multitude of planets and moving bodies in the heavens. And everything's moving around. And it's all with a precise measure that the planet shouldn't be colliding into each other. And everything should keep its place. So we're discussing just a small inkling that we can have of the greatness of Hashem. And if Hashem promises there'll be a geula, there will be a geula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, as we said in Pasuk Yud, Hine Hashem Elokim b'chazak yavo. Hashem is coming with His strength, with His force. Misikenes Ruach Hashem. And now we're focusing on that next phrase in Pasuk Yud. Uzeroo moshlolo. Hashem's arm, kaviyachol, is what rules for him. That Hashem has His own power to carry out whatever He wants, and He doesn't need the help or the assistance of anyone. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, Misikenes Ruach Hashem. One way to understand the Pasuk, as the Mitzuda says, is who's the one who can appraise the spirit of Hashem? Who's the one who can establish what Hashem is going to want. Ruach can mean what somebody wants. Who's the one who establishes the Ruach Hashem? You can't decide what Hashem wants, what Hashem will desire. V'ish atzoso yodienu. And who's the man of his counsel, the ish atzoso, the one who's going to advise Hashem what to do? Hashem doesn't need any advisors. He doesn't need any help. Rashi learns, misiken es ruach. Who's the one who established the ruach, the ruach, the spirit, the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh? Who's the one who gave Ruach HaKodesh to people, that they have a deeper understanding and they know things that are beyond human ability without help from above? Who's the one who, misiken es ruach, who's the one who established the Ruach HaKodesh, that the Nevi'im know what Hashem is going to do? It's Hashem. It's only Hashem. V'ish atzoso yodienu. And so too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell the person of his counsel. There are those that HaKadosh Baruch Hu discusses plans with. The Nevi'im. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell the Nevi'im what he plans, and he'll discuss it with them. But that's all only Hashem. Hashem doesn't need anyone to help him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates with us. V'ish atzoso yodienu. The man of his Eitzah, Hashem will let him know what will be. Esmi noatz. From whom did Hashem seek counsel? Vayivineyu. Who's the one who gave Hashem understanding? Vayilamdeyu ba'orach mishpat. Or who taught Hashem about the path of justice. Of course, all this is, there's nobody who's informed Hashem of anything. Vayilamdeyu das. Is there anyone who taught Hashem wisdom? V'derech tevunos yodienu, who explained the way of knowledge? And as Rashi learns, we said, who's the one who gives the Ruach HaKodesh to the Nevi'im? Who's the one who lets the Nevi'im know what Hashem plans to do? It's only Hashem. And do you know who Hashem discusses these things with? Esmi noatz vayivineyu. With whom does Hashem take counsel? And who does Hashem give understanding to? Not any of the nations of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't discuss this with the Goyim. But as we had in Chumash, Hashem planned to destroy the city of Sodom. It was so wicked and their cries were rising to Hashem. And Hashem said, Hamachasa anime Avram, am I going to cover from Avram and keep hidden what I plan to do? Avram Avinu is so great, and he has such merit, and he's going to tell his children to follow in the ways of Hashem. Avram Avinu has to know the plans. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram that the cry of Sodom is so great. Esmi noatz vayivineyu. With who did Hashem take counsel? Or give him to understand? With somebody like Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu understood the whole Torah. He kept the Torah. Chazal say, even the mitzvahs of the Rabbanon, like Eruv Tafshilin. Avram Avinu kept everything. Because the truth is, there's an intelligence of the Torah that's beyond human understanding. But somebody who's a tzaddik like Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu discusses and lets him in on the secret, on the way that Hashem wants him to live. So even before the Torah is given to mankind, Avram Avinu is informed. His kil yosav hayunovos chochma, like his kidneys were flowing with knowledge. That's the one who HaKadosh Baruch Hu informs and tells what he plans to do, not the nations of the world. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu again says that there will be a Geula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability and he doesn't need to consult with anyone. There are four yesodos, there are four basic components that the world is comprised of. The wind, fire, water, dirt. These psukim stress these four things. Mimodad b'sholomayim. Who's the one in Pasuk Yud Beis that we mentioned who measured out the water? And the shamayim, the heavens that's comprised of eishumayim, fire and water, the heavens that have the fire. Hashem measured that. The dirt, the afar ha'aretz, Hashem measured. And then in Pasuk Gimel, Misikin Asruach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu again apprised the wind. All the world has a creator. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who's able to take these different components and make a world out of that. And He did it for Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to change His desire, His will, that He wants to do good for Klal Yisrael. Because Hein Goyim Kamar Midli, the nations of the world, they're not significant in the eyes of Hashem. Hashem made a world with Adam HaRishon, with Noach, there were a few individual tzaddikim, but the world itself was a failure till Avram Avinu came. And Avram Avinu is the one who recognized Hashem on his own and set out as his mission to spread the knowledge of Hashem. And now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in the nations of the world. Hein Goyim Kamar Midli, the nations of the world, are like a drop from the bucket. Ucheshachak moznayim nechshavu, and like the dust that rubs off of a scale. Hein iyim, the islands, those in the faraway distant places of the world on this deserted island. Hein iyim, indeed the islands, kadak yito, they're like dust that will be cast away. There's a difference between a drop from a bucket and the dust on a scale. The drop of a bucket by itself is not significant, but the truth is that is part of what makes up the contents. There's a bucket of water. Every drop by itself is not important, but when you have many, many, many drops, that's what the bucket contains. If you have a scale and the dust and the powder on it, that's not part of the weight at all. That's gotten rubbed off. It's not part of the weight. It's just a separate thing that has to get rubbed off. You can look at the nations of the world. You can look at the world as being inhabited by those that live on the world. And if you look at those who live on the world, and you say, what importance are the nations? They're not, we don't look at it as if billions of inhabitants on the world, and that's where Hashem's focus is. But among those who live on the world, the many, many people, but the goyim are kamar migli. They're like the drop that from the bucket, that even though the drop is part of the water, it's part of what the bucket contains, part of the earth is inhabited by all of the goyim, but it's an insignificant drop. It's like the marmigli. And the truth is, the world consists of a lot more than just the people living on the earth. The earth itself, and all of the planets and the galaxies and everything that Hashem created in this world, all the species, everything that's in the world. When you look at it like that, and like the world, if the world would be a scale, those that live in the world and don't serve Hashem and weren't interested, they're not as chashuv as the world. They're not like the scale. They're like the dust, like the powder on it. So the Malbim explains, Hein Goyim Kamar Midli, in terms of those that live on the earth, the goyim are insignificant like the drop of a bucket. And in terms of the whole world that Hashem created, they're considered like the dust rubbing off of a scale. Hein iyim kadak yito. The nations are like the dust that will be cast away. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, there's nothing that can stop HaKadosh Baruch Hu from carrying out His plan. The Radak says, Once you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's created the world, Acha shekol ze osa meayin, from nothing, Hashem made a world. Me'ein ozer, without any help, me'ein malamed, without anyone teaching Hashem how to do it. Eich yuchlu hagoyim lemono, mehotzi Yisrael mitocham. How could the goyim stop Hashem from bringing the geula? There's nothing that can stop Hashem from taking us out of this golus. The goyim are kemar midli, kishachak moznayim, and therefore they can't stop Hashem from bringing about the geula. And Hashem certainly will not want to change his plans. As we said, hinei scharo ito, whatever schar, whatever reward Hashem would want, Hashem is not helping Klai Yisrael because he hopes to get something back in return. And perhaps you might think the goyim could maybe give Hashem a better reward. But ulevonon ein dei boer. You can take a forest like the Levanon, like the Lebanon forest, and if you were to cut down all of the trees and designate that wood to go on the Mizbeach, but no matter how many trees you put on the Mizbeach, there's not enough of a fire. If that's what you want to do to please Hashem, if that's the extent of your service of Hashem, no matter how much wood you put on the Mizbeach, all of that kindling will not find favor. V'chayoso, and even if you take all the animals that you'd find in the forest, ein dei ola, there's not enough to use as a carbon ola. There's no way that Hashem is doing this to get a reward. And perhaps you might think the goyim could give a better reward. They can do better for Hashem. It's not possible. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael, recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accepted the Torah, serves Hashem, there's no way the nations could do an action to gain Hashem's favor instead of Klal Yisrael. The Radak says, the nations of the world cannot stop Hashem from bringing the Geula. And even that thought, you know, I heard there's an Haraz on the east side of the Har HaBayis, outside the wall, there's a Shar HaRachamim, the gates of mercy that are sealed up. The wall that goes around the Har HaBayis on the east, there's a Muslim cemetery. And I had the tradition is that the Arabs planted, the Arabs buried people there. Many, many, many years ago, with the plan that Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach shouldn't be able to come from Har HaZeisim into the Har HaBayis because they'll become Tameh, there'll be all these graves there, these Arab graves, you know. It's. But nothing can stop Hashem from bringing the Geula. And the Radak says, the Goyim who think, and they think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be able to bring Klal Yisrael out of the Golus. The Radak says, lo yechuper lehem b'shum ola. What the Pasuk is telling you, there's no carbon that can bring them a forgiveness for such a thought. She'akrivu lefonai, acha she'yiru she'otziyim, v'yischartu b'masha amru. Right now, to say the Gula can't come, once the Gula does come, that thought and those words, to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, he can't. There's something that can stop Hashem from bringing the Geula. Ulevonon ein dei boer. There's no way to have a forgiveness for such words. Even if they take all the trees of the Levonon and burn it for Hashem and place on v'chayosu all the animals, ein dei ola. It wouldn't be sufficient to bring a korban ola to forgive such a thought. Kol ha-goyim ka'ayin negdo. All the nations of the world are like nothing compared to Hashem. Me efes vasohu nechshavu lo. Like nothingness and emptiness, nechshavu lo, they're reckoned by Hashem. A person has a value sometimes in relation to other things. You compare one item to another. Is it expensive? Is it not? It depends. You compare with other things. Or you can look at its intrinsic just by itself. But no matter how you try to weigh the goyim, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring the gula, kol goyim kayin negdo. There's no relationship. The goyim compared to Hashem, they're kayin. They're like nothing. And in terms of the goyim's intrinsic strength or power or importance, may efes v'so nechshavu lo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says they're reckoned as nothing. Vel mi tidam yun keo. To whom can you liken Hashem? Umad mus tarchu lo. And what likeness can you attribute to him? What kind of a form and what kind of thing could you say Hashem is like? As the Malbim says, sometimes you can compare something, like you'll say he is quick as a deer. Rotz katzvi, he runs like a deer. He doesn't look like a deer, he doesn't act like a deer, he's a person. But at least in the running, he seems to run like a deer. But ve'el mi tadam yun keil, to whom can you compare to Hashem? Umad mustar chulo, what type of image? Actually, the Malbim says that later in Pasuk Chaf Hey, Vel Misa Damyuni Ve'eshve. Even if you compare something to Hashem, but Ve'eshve, it's not the same. There's nothing that's a true comparison to Hashem. Vel Misa Damyun Keil Umat Mustarchulo. What kind of a form could you attribute to him? Hapesel Nosachorosh. To take an idol? An idol that's cast by a blacksmith. Vitzorif Bazov Yirakenu, and then the goldsmith overlays it with gold. He takes a plate of gold and he beats it, a very thin sheet of gold, on top of his cheap metal form, and he covers it with gold. Urasukos Kesef Tzoreif, and a silversmith attaches silver chains. Because the idol can't move, so they have to put on chains that they should be able to drag it somewhere, they should be able to move it. Is that what you would compare HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom, compare HaKadosh Baruch Hu to? HaMasukon Truma, and somebody who's poor, HaMasukon, one explanation is, the person is poor, can't afford to have metal. If he can afford metal, so he at least makes a form with a blacksmith, and then he covers it with gold. But the person who's poor, the mesukon, he uses truma. He's got to put aside something else for his idol. Eitzlo yirkav yivchar. And he chooses a wood that won't rot. Chorosh chochem yivakesh lo. And he seeks out a wise carpenter. Lohochin pesa lo yimod. To prepare an idol that won't fall apart. It should have become disjointed. All the limbs should remain attached to it. So that shows a greater knowledge. If he's poor, he's got to be more careful how he builds it. It's out of wood. But halo seidu, don't you know? Halo sishmo, don't you realize? Haven't you heard? Halo hugad meirosh lochem. Hasn't it been told to you from the beginning? Halo havinosem, haven't you contemplated? Mostos haaretz, the foundations of the earth. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world. How can you compare that to somebody who worships the idols? The Radak explains that the truth is, it's a long Radak, but on Pasuk Chof Aleph, he says, V'narich ma'at bazeh ha'inyin. In the middle, he mentions, he'd like to elaborate on this. V'nomar, and let's say the following. Ki ovdei ha'psilim einam choshvim sho'evin ahi. People who worship idols don't think that stone, oh, eitzah here, that piece of wood, or the gold or the silver created the world. And that statue is the Adon ha'olam. Lo yal al hadash she'esh sochol ba'olam. The Radak says you can't even dream, you can't enter your thoughts that there's a fool, Sheyaminzeh, that believes it. But what happened is the people realized that the world is just a miraculous, wonderful, wonderful creation. And that the stars and the seem to have, there's a certain mazel, a certain power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Malachim in charge of different things. And therefore they felt that if they make some type of form that's similar to the Tzura, it has the form of stars or whatever they imagine, whatever power they imagine, they make a form similar to it, and by worshipping this form, they would have a connection to the higher power that's hoping to control the world. And from that started a deterioration that people eventually started. They knew that their ancestors worshipped this statue and this idol, and which originally was made because of their belief that this represents the sun or the moon or the planets. But from that it deteriorated that people felt this is what we do. We worship the statue will help us out. And the Novi says, that's silly. How can you have a person who goes ahead and he makes something with his pesel nasa chorosh, the blacksmith and the silversmith, and they put together the goldsmith and they're making this idol, and somehow that's going to bring them hatzlacha, it's going to give them success? Hello, Seidu. There's certain things that you can know on your own. If you stop and you think, you contemplate, halo seidu, you yourself can know. And halo sishmo, and even if you didn't think it through, you can hear from others who have thought about it. And halo hugad mirosh lachem, there's certain things that you don't have to think about necessarily, you don't have to hear it from contemporaries, but it's known mirosh lachem from the very beginning. That there's a knowledge that halo havinosim, don't you understand mostos ha'aretz, the foundation of the earth. Again, if you comprehend the greatness of the world has a creator that's greater than anything that can be worshipped, any power that there is. Hayoshev al chug ha'aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who sits on the circumference of the earth, the round earth. And if you imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu above, looking down, Kaviyochel, on our little world down here, V'yoshveha kachagovim, those that live on the earth would be like grasshoppers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so much above. Hanote chadok shamayim, who spreads out the heavens like a thin curtain. V'yimtochem ka'ohel, and he stretches them like a tent, lo shoves, that we can dwell in, like the person who's able to live under the sky, under the protection of the sky. And as the Radak explains a little later on in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, a little later on in that long discussion. And he says, imagine, hinei ha'olam bichlolo, the world is a general sense, kmo bayis banui, it's like the world we live in is like in a house, v'ashamayim kmo hatikra, and the sky is like the roof in the house, kmo hatikra al habayis, v'akochovim, and the stars, kineros babayis, it's like the candles that shed light in the house. And the grasses and everything that grows, the food, is like the table that's been set. Ubal habayis shabona habayis hu akel yisporach ba'olam. And the bal habayis who made this house, you walk into a house and you see the roof is the sky, and there's light, is the kochavim, the stars. The food, the table set, and there's a host, there's a balabayas in the world. And the people who live in the world is like the person in charge of the house. A man made a house, and he said, you can live in my bungalow for the summer. Just take care of it. The house is yours to use. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this house, and he put us like the pokid, like the one in charge. Asher nosan biyodo kol inyonei habayis, and everything in the house is at the disposal of man. V'hulo ro bal habayis be'enov. And the guy who's living in this house never met the Balavos. There was a note on the door, just walk in and make yourself at home. Take good care of it. And he never saw the Balabayas. El Shagolo Bosa Bayas, but he grew up, he lives in this house. And the person living in the house was told, you know what, your father also did such an arrangement. He came and he's been living in the house. But we never met the owner of the house. It's somebody's house. But we never met him. And your father lived in the house, and don't worry, you can live in the house. And there's a Baal HaBayis. V'hu gam ken yiyachein acharov, v'im ha-pokid baal seichel. If the guy living in the house has intelligence, yidrosh le-Baal HaBayis mihu, he's going to want to find out, who is this Baal HaBayis? He's living in the house, everything's prepared, who's the owner of the house? K'dei she-yovo le-fon of tamid. He knows he has a job. The house has an owner. What does the owner want him to do for the house? He wants to know what is expected from him. Eventually, it might be soon and it might be in the distance. But eventually, everyone in charge of the house is going to be taken to account. Did you take care of it? And the person living in this house thinks, you know, the Baal HaBayis is aware constantly. He's above me. He knows what I'm doing. He's watching me. But the fool doesn't do this. But he sees, you know, he's in the house. He heard he's in the house. The owners are away. So he parties and he abuses it. He does whatever he wants. And he doesn't realize eventually the Baal HaBayis is going to come and he's going to demand, what did you do with the house? So too, the psukim here describe how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world and he spread out. This is an interesting description of the Radak, how we should look at our living here on earth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this whole world. Hanosein rosnim la'oyin. And Hashem turns the governors into nothing. Rosnim comes to the word, the Malbim says, like a roz, like a secret. Those that you consult with, those your advisors, those that you can whisper the plans to the inner cabinet. Those rulers that are under a mighty king. Hanosein rosnim la'oyin. And those governors are become nothing. Shoftei eretz katohu asa, and he makes the judges of the land katohu into like nothing. Af bal nitohu, they're not going to have a permanence. It'll be as if they weren't planted. And a plant, a tree, is something that's strong. Nitoim is a tree, but they won't be strong like a tree. Af bal zoro. It'll be as if they weren't even planted, like zeroim is seeds, like grass, something that's weak, but they won't even have the planting of like seeds. Af bal shoresh ba'aretz gizam, and as if the geza, the root of it, is not even embedded in the ground. It hasn't rooted to the soil. V'gam noshaf bohem vayivoshu. Even if Hashem would blow on them, Vayivoshu, they just wither. Usa'ara, and a storm wind, kakash tisoyim, will carry them away like stubble. All the nations of the earth don't have the permanence, don't have the strength. They're nothing compared to Hashem. When Hashem wants to bring the geula, there's nothing that will prevent him. V'almit sidam yuni ve'eshve. To whom can you liken me? V'eshva, that we should be the same. Yomar Kadosh. The Holy One says, Kadosh meaning he's not part of the Gashmias. He's not part of this mundane physical world. He's Kadosh, he's holy, he's removed. And from Hashem, who's the Kadosh, there's nothing that's comparable. Sumaro meinechem uru'u, raise your eyes up on high and see, mivara ele. Who created all of these things? Hamotzi b'mispor tzavam, he brings forth tzavam, the hosts. Tzava like an army where everything has its place and its function. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes out all of those planets and everything that orbits and moves, and Hashem takes out all those stars. L'chulam b'shem yikra, they each have their name. And it comes from Hashem, meirov onim, from the abundance of his power, va'amitz koach, and the vigor of his strength, ish lo nedar, not one is missing, everything has its place, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's controlling the world, is going to use it all, and use show his power and his strength when he brings about the geula. And again, the Radak mentions at the end of this pasuk, at the end of pasuk chavav, and the Chovos HaLevavos discusses this also. But he ends off and he says, V'chol ze chayiv adam lilmod misifrei hachachmos. There are things that a person has to learn from the Svarim that deal with chachma, wisdom. U'lahavin b'daito b'nivroim. A person should use his mind to understand the creations of the world. Be'im b'nivroi Maila, Bein B'nivroi Mata, the things that are above in the sky, to get a knowledge of astronomy, to get a knowledge of what goes down here on earth. Earth science. Umehem Yakir Habore, and from them a person should come to recognize Hashem. It's an ironic twist. It's strange how the Yetzirah got into, you know, it's people who use science and they believe in the nonsense of evolution. It's the exact opposite, that a person really should know science to bring him to a knowledge of Hashem. And the Malbim and the Radak says, "V'nei hanovi hizir b'nei adam bazeh," and that's what the Novi's warning people. V'omer halo seidu, halo sishmo, halo havinosem. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Don't you comprehend? Va'amar sumoro meinechem uru'u. The Navi says, raise your eyes up to the sky and see what's going on. And ru'u, to see, means to understand with the heart. And as Chazal say, if a person could calculate the orbits and the calculations for the calendar and for how everything moves and how long the orbit takes, and he doesn't, it says, Vespol Hashem lo yabitu, maise yodov lo ro. It's like he's not interested in. Hashem made a wondrous world. It's our job to try to understand it and to gain a little tiny glimpse into the greatness of Hashem. And as the Malbim explains, when you raise your eyes above and see, understand, that it's all been created. It didn't happen by itself. The world is no, there's no big bang. And the world had a creator. And they themselves have no power, but hamotzi b'mispor tzavam. They're taken out by number. There's a certain number of stars and planets, and we see ones that we haven't seen before as the telescopes get better and more powerful. But whatever the number is, that's what it is. They're not increasing. They're not propagating. It's not. There's no increase in them. But hamotzi b'mispor tzavam, Hashem takes them out by number. L'chulam b'shem yikra. They're all called with their name. A name designates what a person is, what his essence is. What is he? He is Reuven. That's what he is. He has a name that defines what he is. The stars and the planets, each one, lechulam b'shem yikra, they have a name. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a name that they all have certain effects of the mazalos. That a person in the mazal has certain control on this world. Meirov onim v'amitz koach. And it comes, meirov onim v'amitz koach, from the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore it remains forever, and the stars continue, the sun and the moon, everything is continuing through the centuries. It's meirov onim v'amitz koach. And therefore, ish lo nedar, not a single one is lacking. They don't disappear, and they continue their permanent voyage in this world. This is the conclusion of the Haftorah for Parshas Nachamu. And the point again in the Haftorah is, go ahead and proclaim that the Geula is coming. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, they should all be comforted. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power is limitless, and He doesn't need the help or the advice of anyone else. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do whatever He plans to do. And it's not like there's any other schar, it's not like Hashem needs or plans to get anything as a result of this, that perhaps you might think the nations of the world could offer Him better. But no, hinei scharo ito. Hashem has His schar with Him. He doesn't need, He's not doing this to get any other gifts. Upulaso lefanov, and what Hashem enjoys doing, His pu'ula, the work that He plans to do, it's all in front of Him. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's as if it's already happened. And therefore the ge'ula is coming. And therefore, kol omer kra, the voice says, call out and proclaim. There should be the kol korei bamidbar, to call out in the desert, to clear the road for the geula, that we'll all go back to Eretz Yisroel with the geula shleima b'mehira. Amen.